You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole for the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, and available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, here with you all on this Friday, a game day in the Crescent City here as the Pelicans take on the Portland Trail Blazers tonight and try and wash that awful taste out of their mouths that was that Memphis game from the other night, of which I was very critical in yesterday's podcast. Not going to take that same negative slant today. We're going to look at a couple of different things. In the first segment, we're going to give you guys an AD injury update and a Tony Allen medical update, which we got before the Memphis game, which I didn't even have time to dive into and kind of break down, because this is where we'll be critical in today's podcast. This is yet another kind of black eye for the medical staff. Whether that's fair or not, it's going to be perceived that way, and I think that it is. So I'll talk about that and why and maybe what's going on a little bit there with him. In the second segment, we're going to talk about Tulane basketball. Yeah, there's some other basketball being played here in New Orleans. Tulane with a big game upcoming this weekend against UConn. UConn, who has been great recently, and I do believe their head coach is in danger of potentially being fired. But still, it's a name. That's a way you can kind of build on things. They are above 500, which is at least kind of good for them in UConn. So we'll talk about that and talk a little bit about Tulane basketball. And then finally preview the games for the weekend, the Portland game tonight in the Smoothie King Center before the Pelicans get on the road, travel to New York City to take on the Knicks. Hopefully get some revenge for a loss about a week and a half ago against that team on the end of that homestand. So we've got a lot to cover in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So before talking about Tony Allen, the big thing to talk about here is the injury to Anthony Davis, missing the game against Memphis the other night with an ankle injury. And it was actually reported before the game that Davis was in a walking boot, but it was just precautionary. And head coach Alvin Gentry said he expects Davis to play in Friday's game against Portland, unless something changes, he said. Davis has missed six games due to injury, full games due to injury. The Pels are 3-3 in there, so they can certainly use him back against Portland. Though early on in the season, he exited a game early on, I think, in the first half against them. And the team battled really well without him in that, ultimately losing, however. So maybe against this team, there's some luck here where they just come out firing against it. But sounds like he's going to be playing. The boot was just precautionary. Still, a little scary to kind of hear that. That's not exactly what you want to hear. He's officially listed as questionable, so basically 50-50 to play. So you have to imagine he'll probably get upgraded to probable as we head towards shoot-around against Portland. You guys know I'm recording this on, Thursday? So no update there. I figure he'll get upgraded to probable, and then right around game time, be basically a game time decision, they announce that he will be starting and playing. So expect to see him out there tonight against Portland. We knew Davis was likely to play. The bigger thing here has to do with Tony Allen, and this was reported before the game against Memphis. And again, I was so frustrated with that loss the other night that I didn't even touch on this, that he has had a setback. Back on December 12th, the Pelicans announced that he suffered a non-displaced left proximal fibula fracture and said he was going to be out for basically 2 to 4 weeks. So as we get to almost a month later here, apparently, Allen, who's 35 years old, by the way, re-aggravated the injured leg, pushing the date to return back another 2 to 4 weeks. So, stop me if you've heard this before. I mean, Pelicans player suffers injury, looks good, we hear it's good, and then suffers a setback. We've already heard this year with Alexi Ajinsa, who's out currently. So that's no surprise there. You know, remember he had surgery, needed to, and is basically out for the season after them listing him kind of as like 2 months out. And then, boom, surgery when no one was really kind of expecting that. So this is a thing that's happened before. And this is a problem that's getting traced back to, again, the summer as well, where the Saints, who used Misty Suri as one of their assistant trainers, fired him, basically, and he's still the head athletic trainer and all of that here for the Pels. Interesting to note certain things with this. You know, look, I've defended this medical staff for a long time. I think it's really tough to evaluate and to judge them and really know what their jobs are and what they do and their contributions. And when I feel uncomfortable at times talking about the medical staff because, frankly, we don't know most of this stuff about what's going on there. But certain patterns start to develop, and this is one of them. So, you know, I think it's fair to question what's going on there. I'm not saying we're going to place blame on anyone and say it's their fault that this happened, because I don't think this is necessarily the medical staff's fault. I think it maybe could be, but I don't know. But I think it's fair to question it, and that's all that I'm going to do here. But we've seen this stuff happen before over and over and over again. And this isn't where, you know, Eric Gordon breaks his finger, sits out a couple of games, comes back in, and then re-breaks the same finger. Those are fluke injuries, and they happen. This isn't Drew Holiday taking an elbow to the face and fracturing his eye socket. You can't prevent against things like that. But this is an injury while the player is recovering. And we saw this happen over and over again with Quincy Pondexter, how he kept getting set back and set back and set back. And it was, he was out for 2 years before kind of getting a few minutes here and there for the Bulls this season. So what's going on to cause these setbacks? Are they not treating it right in the first place? Are they rushing these guys back? Don't forget, that's what happened to Delvin Bro, and basically what? I think he's missed the entire season for the Saints because of that. That they rushed him back, partially because they misdiagnosed it. And I don't think there's a misdiagnosis here, but you've got to wonder if the treatment they're doing is right if these guys do keep getting setbacks like this. That's the biggest thing here. When I've told this story on the podcast before. You used to see Quincy Pondexter running stairs in the Smoothie King Center on game days, you know, an hour or two before tip-off and before they opened it to the public. Maybe he shouldn't have been running freaking stairs if it caused a setback or if he wasn't ready to do that, because certainly you have to figure that had some sort of factor into those setbacks that he suffered. So again, I'm not placing blame on anyone for this, but the Pelicans, though I don't think Tony Allen's contributed a ton to this team, look, he's played in 22 games, he's averaging 12.4 minutes per game, and he's averaging 4.7 points. But my God, does this team need a little bit of wing depth, guard depth, or someone to stop the bleeding on defense a little bit there, because they are getting burned by guards over and over and over again. So they could use someone there like, you know, like him in there. So this is disappointing to see. And again, not placing blame, not doing any of that. But I do think it's fair to question this medical staff now. So make sure you check out the Locked On NBA podcast. David Locke's got a great interview with Ben Falk of Cleaning the Glass up there talking about offensive rebounds and versus transition defense. That's important how it relates to the Pelicans. Tune into that podcast. Make sure you listen to it. Get some more insight on that topic. It's pretty eye-opening. It might change your opinion on what the Pelicans should be doing. So make sure you listen and subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast. So switching from Pelicans basketball, because maybe that's something we all need right now, I want to take a quick look, this is not going to be a long segment here, on Tulane basketball here in New Orleans, my alma mater. So this is kind of cool. And I'll be at the game Saturday as they take on UConn. Again, not a very good UConn team, but it's kind of fun to go see a big name school like that, even though they're 9-7 and barely over 500 like that, and potentially going to be firing their head coach. As things start to kind of get rumored with the bit of a disappointing season they're having by their standards. But Tulane's kind of fun this year. You got to look at this team. They're 11-5 after being terrible last year and doing really well. They had kind of a disappointing loss against Memphis the other night. But this game, they have a chance to bounce back. It should be kind of a packed crowd in there. Students are back on campus. There's some buzz around the team. And this game's going to be on ESPN News at 12 Central. So this kind of might be a bit of like a fun atmosphere, and I haven't been to a game probably in years at this point, and this has managed to get me back on campus checking it out. And this team and the makeup of it is, again, also just kind of cool. There are six guys from New Orleans, basically the New Orleans area here, including a true freshman, Caleb Daniels, who's been playing well, and Tulane's top player in Melvin Frazier, their guard, who's averaging 17.6 points per game, is from Avondale. This is cool. This is a very New Orleans team. And you've got to kind of like what they're doing out there on the court. Again, 11-5 is pretty good. 2-1 in the now it's 2-2 in the American Conference with a chance to go to 3-2 and make up some ground. So they're a bit of a high-ish scoring team, not an elite one by any standards, but that's really where they hang their hat, led by, again, Melvin Frazier, and then Cameron Reynolds, guard, who plays on the wing a little bit too, at 16.3 points per game. And they're the guys for the team, man, and they're fun to watch. This is a pretty good jump-shooting team for Tulane. They rank first in the American, basically, in field goal percentage. Those guys slash and can get into the lane while also hitting enough three-pointers to keep the defense honest. Defensively, they're not great. Let's not lie here. When you watch them, and if you watch them against Memphis, they were struggling very much so there. But they do defend the three-point line well. The problem is there's not elite big play here for the Pelicans. Most of their best guys are guards and wing players. So they kind of get beat inside a little bit, as you can see, with opponents putting up points in the paint like that. But again, the turnaround season they're having really can't be stated enough. They were 6-25 last year. That's a winning percentage under 200. Those 25 losses were the eighth most in the country of all basketball teams last year. And all of a sudden now they're 11-5 and kind of buying into what Coach Mike Dunleavy, a former NBA GM and NBA head coach, and a former NBA coach of the year. So this is kind of wild that he's still here at Tulane and they managed to get him with name recognition like that, has been able to do. They're also in the RPI top 100, coming in squeaking under the line at just in at 99 overall. And when you kind of look ahead at their schedule, when they start to hit the American Conference play, which they're in now, this team's going to finish close to 20 wins on the year. You're looking at something like probably 19-11, which isn't going to get you into the tournament, most likely, unless those wins are over really good teams for whatever reason. But overall, that's still really good and something to build on. And I'm excited to be in Fogelman. Again, haven't been in a while, but those games are fun. I can tell you guys some stories from there, which I will if you want to hear Jake Madison story time. My freshman year at Tulane was 04, and I was friends with a lot of the guys on the Tulane basketball team. They lived in my dorm. One of them, Taylor Rochester, was from Santa Barbara. I'm from California. Hung out just at his place in Santa Barbara over spring break together. There were a couple other guys on the team. David Gomez was one who put up and dominated Big Baby Glenn Davis when they played LSU at one point, I think the senior year, junior year, something like that. So there were some names on that team. Taylor was a Conference USA Freshman of the Year team player. He had like back-to-back game winners, including one against UAB at home where he hit a three-pointer to win. That team was fun. They played Louisville in a year that Louisville made the Final Four, and I remember just screaming so much at Rick Pitino that game that I eventually had to be escorted out by security. I think it was senior year was when Memphis was in Conference USA with them, and they had Derrick Rose on that team led by Calipari. We all packed the Fogelman to see Derrick Rose play because, I mean, why not? You could see he was going to be something special. We're sitting in the front row under one of the baskets, and I was screaming at the ref, both refs, three refs, something like that, all night long. One of them got so frustrated with me, he turned around, clapped at me, and said, "Go do your homework," and screamed that at me a couple of times. Another guy was more friendly and was joking with us during timeouts and stuff, came over. He's like, "You think you could do my job better?" And I told him, of course I could. He's like, "You're welcome to come on down here and do it." And he's like, "I'd love to be in the crowd just having a beer." So I took my shirt off and I offered to trade it with him. And he laughed and just walked away from me, shaking his head. So not going to be that wild on Saturday, as my girlfriend and I will be there, probably just enjoying and taking in the game and the atmosphere. But I'm kind of excited to get back in there to see Tulane take on UConn. So look, we're not going to check in on Tulane too much here. Maybe one quick segment a week, depending, because this is kind of fun now that they're, you know, not losing 25 games and only winning six. But New Orleans basketball overall, there's not this great, tremendous, long-storied history, but there is a history there, and it's worth exploring, and it's something I want to do here on Locked On Pelicans. So the Pelicans are 20-20 and about to hit the midway point of the season with their game tonight against the Portland Trail Blazers. And over at LockedOnPelicans.com, we've got some midseason grades up. I promise you, they're probably not going to be as bad as you think, but they're not going to be great. So make sure you check out Locked On Pelicans for our midseason roundtable. That's going to be the question of the week this Friday. So the Pels have two upcoming games this weekend. One, as we just said, against the Portland Trail Blazers tonight in the Smoothie King Center. And this is a team that New Orleans, I think, has done pretty well against this year, whether or not they're going to have Anthony Davis here. Portland has, they're solidly in kind of the fifth seed-ish for right now, with an offensive rating ranking 20th out of 30, a defensive ranking 4th out of 30. So they're kind of flip-flop from how you were really going to expect them to be this season. Their defensive rating partially has to do with they haven't played the toughest schedule to date. And as it's starting to get tougher, you've seen them slide down the Western Conference rankings before bouncing back a little bit recently. But for the most part, since they've hit their tough schedule, they've played 500 ball. Defensively, they try and take away shots at the rim, utilizing their big man in basically Yusuf Nurkic, who does a really good job of that. The problem is, you can do that against most teams. You're not going to be able to do that against the New Orleans Pelicans. And the last game these two teams played, New Orleans at Portland back on December 2nd, game Davis didn't play in, and remember earlier in the year he left one of the other games early, Cousins put up 38 points in a victory there. It was 123-116. Basically, this should be the same thing. Just pound the freaking ball inside and score that way. And just limit a little bit Damian Lillard or CJ McCollum. These guys have shot not great against the Pelicans this year because you have Holiday draped over all one of them. You'd like maybe to see Tony Allen here to try and slow down the other one. If they both don't get hot, the Pelicans can win this game. But again, this does matter of which Pelicans team comes out. Are they going to be trying hard? Are they going to be putting forth the effort? They do, again, it's a winnable game that they can use to get above 500 to end the midway point of the season. If not, it could be basically another loss. That's kind of what it comes down to with this Pelicans team. The game against the Knicks is another game they should win. However, the Pelicans did lose at home to the Knicks 105-103 back on December 30th. And this game was basically due to kind of effort. You've got in this matchup some great play from your big birds here. Cousins put up 29 points. Davis put up 31. You got points from Holiday, Moore, everyone. The problem was the bench scored a total of 10 points. While the bench for the Knicks ended up playing pretty well. They got 30 points from Kristaps Porzingis, and then the next highest scorer was Jarrett Jack tied with Michael Beasley at 15 points. Michael Beasley, who's had some really good games this year, is not a player that should be torching you for 15 points. Jarrett Jack, who is, I guess, ageless at this point, put up 15 points, 7 assists, and grabbed 4 rebounds, and had 0 turnovers, and beat the Pelicans in the fourth quarter. Come on, the only reason Jarrett Jack is beating you in the fourth quarter is if you're not trying hard enough to shut him down because you just, again, think you're better and you have this kind of entitlement that we've kind of seen what the reasons Mike Malone chewed out the Nuggets for. The Knicks at this point are, I just blanked on their record here, 19-22. It's a winnable game. They're solidly in the middle of everything. They're a middle-of-the-road offense. They're a middle-of-the-road defense. Which Pelicans team shows up? Are they going to be tired after, you know, the flight and everything? We've seen them come out very flat on the road. If this team's dialed in, that's all you need to see. They will win games. If not, they could lose this one and very easily and kind of continue this tailspin. Hopefully Davis will be healthy against them. But against the Knicks defensively, you're not going to shoot a great percentage against them. They're okay at defending the three-point line, sort of, though teams take a lot of attempts against them. But if you really want to beat them, try and pound the ball inside. That's the way to do it. They try and take away the rim, just like Portland does. They're more effective at it. So you've got to get the ball inside early, even if it's not working, to open up those three-point shooters on the perimeter. And you can beat this Knicks team. These are two very winnable games for the Pelicans. You've got to head into the midway point of the season with some momentum, because right now things really are pointing down for this franchise. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans, this week's worth of podcast for Locked On Pelicans. Enjoy the games this weekend, and as always, I'll be back with you all on Monday to recap what we saw, what we need to talk about. Maybe this team will be trending in the right direction. Maybe they won't. We're going to find out, and it's definitely an important two games for the New Orleans Pelicans as we hit the official halfway point of the season. So thank you all for listening. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all next time.